Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Listen. Melanie Cole's Health Radio is on now.
With all of the Fitbits and wearable smart technology devices out there, people are getting more and more in tuned with their exercise heart rate and how many steps they're taking and what they're doing. But do you check your resting heart rate very often? And how important is that? My guest is James Lavallee, nationally recognized clinical pharmacist, author, and board-certified clinical nutritionist. Welcome to the show, James. So let's talk about resting heart rate. People tend to be more concerned with their exercise heart rate, but more important, really, is your heart rate at rest? Tell us about it.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. People don't realize that your resting heart rate really is a window into how your nervous system is working. So, you know, basically what happens is we train our nervous system how to function, and the higher our heart rate, the more that, unless we have a medical condition, which we'll talk about what are some things that could cause your heart rate to go up, but we can train our body through chronic stress and maybe lack of exercise, and even more importantly, lack of appropriate exercise, that now our heart rate starts to go up due to this what's called loss of vagal tone, which is basically our nervous system no longer really being able to tell our heart that it's okay to slow down, that we're not running from a white tiger. Why is it important? The higher your resting heart rate, and actually they've shown studies that above 76 is a resting heart rate, okay, first morning resting heart rate would confer up to a 40% increased risk of a coronary vascular incident. So resting heart rate, everybody's wearing wearable devices, but do you really understand what they mean to you? I think a lot of people still aren't that well informed.
Now, you mentioned early morning, because throughout the day we're running around, we're busy. Is the resting heart rate, while we're just doing our daily activities, as important as that early morning? Because that's when we're really truly at rest.
Yeah, I mean, the single best time to do it is the first morning heart rate. Before you even get out of bed, it's best to get it then. That's the one that you use, as I know you're an exercise physiologist, you know, you look at that first morning heart rate before they get out of bed as a way to monitor is somebody exercising too hard. So if their exercise patterns, you know, giving them a 10% increase in their morning resting heart rate, well, then, they have to cut down their exercise that day and actually maybe even take a break that day. So, it's getting that first morning heart rate that's important. And, you know, there's things that can also cause you, you know, look, nutrient deficiencies like low magnesium status can affect your heart rate. You could have a thyroid condition. If your heart rate's really high, if you measure it, and, you know, you could go and get a doctor to check it out and see if there's a, you know, some sort of condition that's going on for you. But for most people, I after 35 years in clinical practice and running two big integrative medicine clinics, a lot of people are running around in the 70s for their morning resting heart rate because they're so deconditioned and they've been under a lot of chronic stress and they don't realize the impact of that chronic stress.
So stress, right there, you've mentioned the huge word, because resting heart rate, which normally might be in the 70s, or even lower if you're lucky, just when a stressful event, you're worried, you're stressed out, you're busy, you're freaked out about something, finances, anything, and your heart rate jumps up. Is that a dangerous thing, or is that that fight or flight response to that, and how do we counteract it?
Well, you know, I think it's dangerous. There's healthy stress. Look, it's okay for us to have variable stress response. So in training, for example, we're being told now to do interval training, take your heart rate up, take your heart rate down, create a variable load on your heart rate, and that's what conditions your heart for its best bandwidth for flexibility under the demands you're under. But the problem that we have is that people that are under chronic stress, so fight or flight was designed for you to fight a white tiger, fight or flight, right? White tiger comes after you, you fight it, you survive, or you don't, or you run away from it, you get in a cave, and you're okay. But fight or flight is not designed for, oh boy, this traffic jam I'm in, or I've got 100 emails, or I've got a project deadline, or gee, I've got I'm in a sandwich generation, I got a teenager at home, and I got a parent at home that I'm living with, or maybe you're going through a relationship issue, and they can go on for months and months and months where your body gets stuck in sustained fight or flight. That's when you start to alter your nervous system's ability to cause variability in your heart rate. So your heart rate variability starts to change. It becomes a lot tighter and patterned, and it has less flexibility, what I call flexibility to your heart rate. And what can we do about it? Well, there's a few things you can do. One, I think that's really important, is learning how to deep breathe. I mean, deep breathing exercises absolutely help to reset your heart rate. And you can even get apps for that. I listened to your show before I got on, and you were talking about the app Tender. I like the heart rate app called GPS for the Soul. Real simple. The lungs go out, the lungs go in, and you follow that breathing pattern, and it makes it easy for you 2 minutes twice a day to try and do that. So that's an easy one. And you could get a heart rate variability device where you actually do like kind of a training to get your heart rate back down and improve. And then, of course, I like people, if they know they're under chronic stress, is what can you take for it? You know, it's a nutrient. It's not a drug that will help you manage your stress better. Keep the stress hormones dampened so that you don't fall into the trap of elevated blood pressure, elevated heart rate, increased risk for stroke and hypertension that occurs from chronic stress.
That's great information, because deep breathing can lower it just right then when you're looking at it. And if you are somebody who wants to keep track of it, you have to stop, take a pause, close your eyes, do a little meditation. And of course, cardiovascular exercise as a result of it, James, is something that can help lower your resting heart rate. There's some people that are elite athletes. Geez, their resting heart rate are like in the 50s.
Absolutely. Yeah, as long as they're not overtrained, right? What happens is when the elite athlete starts to become overtrained, meaning that their fight or flight response is too big, which is kind of the big enemy in sports medicine right now, is cortisol, right? Anywhere you go, you look into publications, everybody's talking about cortisol elevation and its impingement of performance in the athlete. So the elite athlete that's got that nice low heart rate, if they start to overtrain, which is becoming a bigger and bigger topic in sports medicine, the very first sign that you may see is that heart rate starting to climb up about 5 to 10% over what their baseline was. And I think it's so important that people understand that. And I'm a big advocate. I make no bones about it. I mean, I've written a lot of books, and a lot of them contain dietary supplements. I really believe that there's benefit. Another one, aged garlic extract, has been shown in human trials to actually lower blood pressure, both systolic and diastolic. This is in human trials on people with resistant hypertension. And when you're lowering both systolic and diastolic pressures, that means that you are resetting vagal tone, that the body's base point for their stress response has dropped. Very novel. Second time this study, a double-blind randomized study, has been published with these exact same data points on it. So I'm really excited about that, because you know how it is. People get in their life and they're busy and they're hectic. They got emails. They're getting hammered with Pinterest and Instagram. And, before they know it, they don't even realize that even the good stress that they're creating is affecting their nervous system. And so I think it's important that we have a consolidated approach with some wise choices in addition to diet, addition to lifestyle, deep breathing, exercise, moderate exercise, right, for the average person to help with heart rate. I think, then there's, what else can I reach for in nature's pharmacy that can help me?
Absolutely. It's great information and definitely something that we all need to look at. So check out your resting heart rate. See what that is. See if that's a predictor of your increased risk for heart disease. Practice deep breathing. Get some good cardiovascular exercise. Take a walk. Sit in the woods. Play with your children. All of these can help bring that heart rate down so the stress hormones don't get you too bad. We got more great show coming up. Stay tuned and stay well.